This interview is brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. You can check out the full episode at lickinonlending.com.
We've got Matt Graham here. Good to have Matt on the phone each and every week, giving us an update. Check out mbslive.net. I am such a fan of this product and the screens and the information it comes across. But let's hear about it directly from Matt Graham, founder and CEO of mbslive.net. Matt, so good to hear you, bud.
Yeah, freak out. Les nailed it, especially last Tuesday. There was a fantastically bad start to the week for the bond market on top of what has already been a fantastically bad January, which we've had a chance to talk about on a few occasions. But at the start of last week, we had foreign accounts dogpiling on some Fed speeches that came out at the end of the previous week and just joined the chorus of the general notion that the Fed is going to remove bond buying accommodation more quickly than previously expected. And what we're talking about specifically is not tapering, because that is already in the works, done as of March. We're talking about balance sheet normalization. So that, if you recall, this was not as visible back in 2018, but this is when the Fed started to let their reinvestments roll off the balance sheet. So they capped the amount that they would reinvest each month. And that began to shrink the balance sheet. And it wasn't too long before the market freaked out enough for them to change tack a bit and say, okay, look, rates have been high for long enough, and it seems like the economy is pouting enough about that, that we are going to level off policy now. And the next move after that was a rate cut. And then the 2019 trade war, of course, dovetailing into COVID. And here we are with more stimulus. We knew the Fed would be pulling away that stimulus whenever it made sense to do so. Arguably, it made sense to pull it away earlier than now. And some are concerned that it's a policy error and the Fed is behind the curve so much that they're going to precipitate the next downturn. That's totally possible. But I think if you're looking at where the economy is right now and just how much the Fed is buying in terms of MBS and treasuries, it hasn't made sense for them to be as big of buyers as they have been. So if you could just look at the landscape of the economy and the market right now, and you had to pick a Fed funds rate and you had to pick a level of bond buying that the Fed should be doing, you would not pick 0% and tens of billions of dollars every month. You'd probably pick no bond buying and a policy rate that is high enough to maybe slow down inflation. Now, a caveat there, the Fed will be the first to admit that the policy rate is not the ideal tool to control the kind of inflation we're having right now. But nonetheless, they might as well do what they can until such time inflation comes down. And it will come down later this year simply due to base effects. But that's another conversation for another time. At any rate, so it's that Fed policy shift driving rates quickly higher at the start of last week. And then we began to correct in the same sort of pattern that we saw in the previous week. And this is a normal pattern when the market is adjusting to a shift in Fed policy. So the only question is, has the shift been priced in enough? And I think we might be seeing some clues as to that, because this correction over the last 3 days of last week and now today is a little bit better developed than the last one. But I do think it is just a consolidation. I don't think that we're looking at the market completely changing course on the rising rate environment in 2022. Because if rates needed an excuse to go a bit lower today, they had it when S&P futures were down more than 4% about an hour ago. And they didn't take that. In fact, 10-year yield sort of just hit the floor and slid sideways at 1.7 plus. And I think if they want a justification, they definitely could have gone under that 1.71 pivot point, because it's a little bit easier just to say it looks like rates are finding their range ahead of the Fed on Wednesday. And that indeed is this week's big event. Wednesday afternoon, 2 p.m. Eastern time, Fed announcement, and then Powell press conference, as always, half an hour after that. Will the Fed hike rates at this meeting? No, zero chance of that. Will the Fed announce a faster tapering process than is already in the works? No, zero chance of that. They have no incentive to increase the speed of the taper. It's going to be over in March anyway. And even if they did increase the speed, it's not as if they're going to move the rate hike forward from March anyway. Another question really that I've gotten from multiple people in the past 2 weeks, is the Fed going to hike rates by 50 basis points in March? No, zero chance of that. It's just really not in their playbook. And I say zero, but it's one of these 95% confidence interval things, right? You never know for sure. But because of all of these questions, I think you can expect reporters to either ask them verbatim directly, or at least ask questions that draw that information out of Powell. So markets are interested to get a commitment on the pace of rate hikes, the possibility or impossibility of a 50 bip hike in March. I'm sure he's going to push back on that pretty quick. But the biggest piece of info will be any sense of timing of balance sheet normalization. So if he says, yeah, we're going to start hiking in March, it's pretty much a done deal, and then we're going to start normalizing the balance sheet in June, that's going to be worth more bond market weakness. And specifically more MBS weakness, because the mortgage side of the market relies a bit more on the Fed bond buying program than treasuries do. So it's easier for treasuries to find a bid without the Fed than mortgages, in other words. And that has been reflected in MBS underperformance over the past few weeks. And it is something that could continue if the Fed kind of stays the course on their normalization rhetoric that began at the beginning of January. Will the Fed acknowledge that this reaction to their policy shift is damaging to markets? Yeah, I mean, I think they'll acknowledge it, but I'm not sure if it has gone far enough for them to be concerned about yet. We need to remember that if stocks had remained on the trajectory that they were on before the pandemic, they would still be significantly lower than they are right now. And I think in the grand scheme of things, the correction we've seen, A, is not quite big enough to concern the Fed, and B, the Fed can point to 2013 and 2014 as evidence that tapering and pulling away from bond buying programs doesn't single-handedly tank the market. In fact, stocks didn't care too much at all in 2013. So I don't think that people should place too high a hope on the Fed pushing back on their recent policy shift just because stocks have sold off so much and rates have risen a fairly nominal amount given the circumstances.
Right.
So nice couple of days, but now we wait and see what the next momentum phase will be. And it will be based largely on what the Fed has to say on Wednesday, probably.
Well, we shall see. Man, you don't have these screens in front of you? Like, I need to bring that up. I will bring it up on my iPad just so I have that up and running. I mean, it's a great tool. You have created some great technology that you can have on a screen behind you like I do in my office, or have it on your iPad or mobile device and be able to keep up on all the stuff that's happening. Matt, thank you so much. Appreciate you being here, friend.
You bet.
You can sign up for the extended trial period without a credit card by putting in LOL, Lincoln on Lending, in the sign-up code. So, Matt, appreciate it very much. So before you leave, Matt, let's get Mr. Nunnery on here. So, Jack, I know you're retired, but you watch the market. Would you ever not watch the markets? Even though you were supposedly retired?
Like a hungry hawk, I watched the market. So I agree with Matt. While the correction that we're seeing across all the major equity markets, NASDAQ, S&P, if it closes in and around where it's at today, we'll check the block on correction. It hasn't been significant enough, in my opinion, to deter the hawkish rhetoric coming out of the Fed. So I think you're going to see the Fed largely ignore the correction in the equities market and continue with its rhetoric that they've been espousing now for the past several months. So while there's a lot of folk out there smarting over the loss in their 401ks, the Dow's down over 1,000 today, or it was when I checked it a couple minutes ago, not a sufficient enough correction to cause any significant concern at the Fed over their approach to curbing inflation. So I kind of look at the Wednesday Fed meeting and say, don't look for any change of course to be discussed by the Fed. So it is what it is. And the thing that's got me a little nervous, guys, is the potential impact of some of the global possibilities that we've talked about in the past.
Yes.
The Ukraine is weighing in on the equity markets. And I was reading an article over the weekend what China on Sunday flew 39 military planes into Taiwanese airspace. So I don't expect the Chinese to make any move until after the Olympics. But keep an eye on the global side of things. There is a lot of unrest in that arena.
So, Matt, that's the thing. It's probably one of the reasons why people need to have your service, because when there's any rumors or anything and things start deteriorating, your screens actually bring that up, and you talk about everything on there so eloquently with the commentary that you have, the pieces that you publish each and every week. So good to see you. Matt, you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, just really briefly, because I know we've taken quite a bit of time, but the geopolitical events definitely are a bit of a wild card. And I just think that there's a really wide spectrum of how they could play out and how that would impact the bond market. And while we can't really know how that's going to go ahead of time, we do know that in 2014, when Russia invaded Ukraine, that it was a complete non-event for the bond market. I'm not saying it's going to be a non-event this time, but I'm saying there are ways that that stuff can happen where it is a non-event, and it can leave your average market watcher wondering, huh, why didn't Russia invading Ukraine help bonds more? But
good
I mean, if the U.S. gets involved in a major way, it could obviously change things. But the other thing to keep in mind there with Taiwan is that that's the ground zero for the chip shortage. Disruptive sort of military campaign going on in Taiwan, then that could have implications on inflation, because 70% of the world's semiconductors come out of Taiwan. So that's just a little counterpoint to consider when we're talking about the reason that rates need to go higher anyway is inflation related, and that could have a countervailing impact, as it were.
Very good. Matt, Jack, thank you so much. Les Parker is listening in. Thank you all for helping us sort through the markets. Excellent job. Love your service. Get signed up for mbslive.net using the LOL code. Just go ahead and sign up. Pick a great credit card out, pay for it. It's worth it. Every dollar of it. Every dollar dime of it.
Say a special thank you to our sponsors, Finastra, Lenders One, Incelerate, Mobility MMI, Modex, the MBA, Knowledge Coop, the Mortgage Collaborative, SnapDocs, Success Kit, and Lenders Toolkit. So grateful to have all of these as sponsors. We appreciate you being here. Look forward to having you back here next week. Have a great week, everyone. Thank you.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.